Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. The first of 14 chapters in The Paradise of the Lord. This is chapter 53, Wrestling the Angel. Scriptures. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only there is one that restraineth now, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 30. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld from the midst of the city a river of living waters, which flowed forth out of the singular gate of the city, out unto the fields and pasture lands of the earth. At the same time I saw this very same vibrant living water flowing forth out of the bellies of those who had overcome, that there was in those who overcame the very same waters flowing with the very same velocity. In the midst of these that had overcome was a perfect obedience and a tremendous fear of the Lord, a carefulness of spirit in them, and a determination to be counted worthy of such things as the living waters of the Spirit of the Lord. These who had these living waters had first come through a cleansing process, so that in them would be no guile. As such, they had flowing unrestricted from them these waters of life, which could never be abated. The interesting thing about these whose bellies flowed forth living waters was they were careful to enter the city. They did not do so as though it were a light thing. They were also just as much desiring the city for their habitation as they desired the earth for their habitation, for the waters which flowed within them had no variable as to whether they would manifest the life of the Lord. End first vision. Second vision. I saw then those who had flowing out of them the abundance of living water, waters in which the bellies of them were consumed and unrestrained, that they flowed forth in a measure unabated. What I saw, however, was that each one who had thus this living water was fresh from wounding, fresh from battle, fresh from the tempest of the battle array. They were scourged by their commander, dirtied by their wars, and they manifested upon their persons the scars of lives which paid the utmost price for the pleasure of the Lord to be their portion. These came forth in garments torn and tattered, and in vessels of clay, manifesting the life of His Spirit within and without of them. As they manifested His Spirit, all those round about them responded, some unto life, some unto the curse of damnation. In either case, the living water was the unbounded flow which men either loved or hated. It was the Lord through them in a measure that could not be stopped, like a fountain or a spring that was released with no measure. So they manifested these living waters. And vision, and both visions. It is impossible to enter into a study on the promises of the Lord and of our future state in the things of the kingdom without also at the same time being warned of this hour in which we live. For we cannot possibly enter into the fullness of these unspeakable promises if we are not also standing guard in our faith for the time of great deception and waywardness that has encompassed mankind. These are perilous times, times that must not be made easy by becoming complacent or lazy in our forward walk and in the purpose of the Lord for this very hour in which we live. One reading this paper may think that they don't need to be warned of this time we are in, but never before must the warning come from they that watch upon the walls, and they that give a clear and a certain sound by the blast of the trumpet. I cannot write without showing forth the contrasts. I cannot share my heart without including admonition and correction and bringing forth warnings for this hour we are living in. For as I have said, we live in peril, but we also live in a time of the need for keen discernment and righteous instruction that can only come from the Spirit of the Lord. Right now, there is no safety in numbers, no security in the gatherings, no perfect interpretation of the word in a company of those who would preach out of a personal agenda. There is, however, safety in coming aside unto the Lord alone and being separated unto Him, in being drawn aside by His hand and by His grace. To those who are thus drawn aside is this written, that they might have in them the standard raised, so that the Lord is seen, and so that they are instructed by the witness of His Spirit in them, which cannot be mistaken for any other voice. You have heard me say that deception has its first roots in the removal of the cross from you, that when a word is twisted, a doctrine emulated, a promise concentrated on more than the face of Jesus, that deception is the result. The very first fruit of deception and of a quenched Spirit of the Lord in you is by the removal of your cross. Let me allow that to say that again. The very first fruit of deception and of a quenched Spirit of the Lord in you is by the removal of your cross. Now I wish to go a bit further. Deception will also give you a false sense of the Spirit of the Lord in you. For the living waters which cause you to never thirst again are limited in deception. They are contemplated with no discernment, and they are accepted as being from the Lord when the Lord in fact does not give them. Deception then will imitate to you the true. It will cause the living waters to flow, but they are not true living waters. They are polluted living waters, which lend themselves to a sense of ecstasy, to rejoicing in the joy of the Lord in spirit, when that joy is not genuine, when that joy is based on that which came from the removal of your cross. Hear this. You cannot come to experience the rivers of living waters in your soul if you also at the same time do not bear your personal cross. It is impossible. When I began to wait on the Lord concerning the paradise found in the kingdom of heaven, the first thing the Lord did was to reveal to me Jesus. So I'll read this again, please. When I began to wait on the Lord concerning the paradise found in the kingdom of heaven, the first thing the Lord did was to reveal to me Jesus. And this is what He revealed, that Jesus entered into paradise after His suffering, after His cruel crucifixion by the hands of wicked men, and for the atonement of our offenses, after He fell into the agony of the cross and the process of dying, then death, He entered into that paradise. He did not do so without first partaking of his own cross. In this perilous hour we live in, men, including some overcomers, are lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. They are taking care of self. They, in their delusion, have now invented doctrines and assumptions out of Scripture which tickle the ears, heaping to themselves these things and causing a flowing of spirit to happen that is not truth. This flowing of spirit has two things in it which I will warn you, the reader, of. So here's this flowing of spirit that is not truth. Here's the two things. Flowing of spirit that's not truth, number one, that this false flow of the supposed spirit of the Lord causes eyesight to be placed on who we are, not who he is. So the first thing, it causes our eyesight to be placed on who we are, not who he is. Eyesight turns away unto self and who we are now in present reality. Not who Christ is now at the right hand of God, but on who we are as the Christ. That we see first an equality in thought and stature given by this false flowing of water in the soul. The singular gaze needed to overcome all things disappears in the sight of one who thinks they are in this perfection, which cannot be added unto. The preaching of the cross, then, is abandoned. The preaching of the cross, then, is abandoned. And very little is preached of the Lord Jesus himself. Instead, a preaching is invented, which teaches you of who you are in him. All such preaching is not founded in the true humility that Christ bore as our example. Okay, the flowing of the Spirit and two things in it, which I warn you of. This is the second one, number two. That this false flow of the supposed Spirit of the Lord causes those who thus see themselves in such an exalted position to twist scriptures to fit their erroneous doctrine, usually based on the theme of restoration and reconciliation, into that which exalts their position in the kingdom of God. So, doctrine based on restoration and reconciliation into that which exalts their position in the kingdom of God. As a result, many ear-tickling doctrines have been invented which are not sound and which do not hold truth, do not hold to the truth of the word. These false assumptions literally open the eyes to that which is an error, and yet justifies what they see as pure truth, and that no testing of it is necessary. In reality, the word of God is abandoned, and the fables are invented and embraced. Imagine that. The word of God abandoned, and the fables are invented and embraced. End of the two points. You may think that I should not start off sharing on the paradise of the Lord in the midst of the New Jerusalem with such warnings. But the hour we are in compels me to do so. I cannot stand by to see the time we are in with so many that have fallen into corruption of evil imitations without saying so. And to be completely honest, this was the first thing laid on my heart, that we cannot experience the true paradise of the Lord if we hold to that which is false. We cannot experience the true without also at the same time canceling out the old. It is true, we are purged from our old sins. It is true, they that are in Christ are a new creation. It is true that those who overcome will inherit all things. But it is equally true that there is still in each one that carnality to deny, that flesh to mortify, and that delusion to reject. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." John chapter 7, verse 38. But out of that same belly is the warning given to Job from one of his miserable comforters, which warning has never been removed, even though Job prayed for him. So Job 15, verses 31 to 35, the words of the miserable comforter. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Job 15:2. And then later in the same chapter, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. It shall be accomplished before his time, and his branch shall not be green, and he shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive. For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit. That's the Job 15, verses 31 to 35. The east wind, that wave of the love of the world, that sweeps one away from the Lord and his dominion, that causes one to walk in the way of the slime pits of Shinar, top build their personal Babel, and to attempt to make a name, a place, and a measure of wealth in this present world. Instead of a belly that flows forth living waters, the belly flows forth unliving waters, waters of deceit, false blessing, and that which gives the bearer thereof no impetus to lay down their life for the sake of the gospel. As long as we abide in flesh, we will have this cross to bear, this discernment to verbally work out, and the scriptures by which to test such things. As long as we are abiding in the body of flesh, the scourging rod of the Lord will also be your guide. Think not, dear reader, that you will not in time enter the paradise the Lord has prepared for them that love him. But think also and know that it must be done by much correction and much spiritual warfare and much tribulation. If this day were as easy as some claim it to be, then why the armor of the Spirit found in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 19? When one is in a state of having these false waters flow from their bellies, there is also at the same time no armor covering them. Hear that again. When one is in a state of having these false waters flow from their bellies, there is also at the same time no armor covering them. They are found wanting when it comes to discerning truth. There is a true water, a true realm of spirit, and a true war. It is real. When the armor is absent, deception is the result. But that is not all. The war we wage in the spirit is not just against the dominion of darkness and the minions of hell who work to corrupt, and also against the carnal mind of deceit and the temptation to delve into the protection of self. If we overcome, we also enter into another aspect of our spiritual walk, which prepares us for the Lord's greater things. And that thing that is taught to us now is also that we will not only war against those negative things, but the very thing we desire to come into becomes a barrier, a desire almost beyond our reach, a realm of the promise of the Lord we end up wrestling over. We also at the same time wrestle with the angel. We, as it were, wrestle and war to be right, to be correct, and to inherit our promise. We actually wrestle with this angel, who is the Lord himself. You will find that if you do desire to have the living waters flow in your belly, that you will also wrestle first with the Lord. He will wrestle you until the breaking of the day, until you come to the end of your own efforts. The breaking of the day equal with coming to the end of your own efforts. Listen carefully. Read this slowly. S-L-O-W-L-Y. Listen carefully and read this slowly and with purpose. The Lord is coming first to they that overcome, to judge and scourge them. He is coming not to give them a place and a name and a promise more grand than one can whip up in the imagination of their own mind, but to chasten and correct, to rebuke and to wrestle against, to cause the heart and mind of the overcomer to fully succumb to the will of the Lord. The first stage of this has happened. That was the separation unto the Lord alone. That was the first stage. Separation unto the Lord alone. The next stage is happening now. The examination of the heart by the candle of the Lord. And then will come that which we desire, the unbounded fullness of his spirit. This will be your wrestling. This time we are in of causing our lives to be submitted to his will, even though we cannot know of any other thing. It is like we become blind to everything else. His will is what consumes us. His will is what takes us from here and brings us to an even greater shaking, a greater consuming fire, a greater trial and testing. And all the while, praise increases, worship increases, the joy of the Lord becomes known for what it is. Praise the Lord for his benefit of being judged now. You may feel completely alone where you are, and that is truth. So what? You are before the Lord himself. He is scourging you and taking you from this which was to that which shall be. He has taken you from this which was to that which shall be. Those who manifest the living waters of his Spirit. It is not my purpose to entirely show the difference between what is right and wrong in this hour. I do intend to fully reveal the living waters in the midst of your life. However, this must first be laid out that there is a counterfeit, a ruse, and we must be able to discern it and refute it. We want the real thing, not anything that will lead to emptiness and loss. That is what I see in this first part of entering into the joy of the Lord and the paradise of the Lord. And that is when we find ourselves holy before him, because he judged us and scourged us and tried us to see if there be anything in us that is far removed from his perfect will. Then will these waters flow unabated, flowing forth as living streams in the desert to wet the parched earth and this creation swallowed up in the curse of the fall. So be it, Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.